Let's bow for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day that you have given us and blessed us with. We thank you for the privilege to pray, to sing, to have fellowship with one another, and to love the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit. We are thankful for the Word of the living God that gives us the information it gives us, an inspired Word, a powerful Word, a Word that moves people and moves things. Father, I pray as we continue this series in reference to the unseen realm, that you will give us the understanding that we need. So when we look at the physical, we will realize the spiritual that is behind it. Lord Jesus, I know some are afraid of this. They don't even like to think it. Most preachers won't even fool with it. But it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it may be weird or sound weird sometimes, but weird is important all the time. I pray that you will give us the spiritual understanding we need on this spiritual subject, that we may realize in the unseen realm there's a lot taking place. A lot taking place that affects our lives and everything else in this universe. I pray that you will give us courage and boldness. You will open our minds and our hearts. Give us that spiritual understanding that is absolutely needed to understand this truth. There are spirits that are alive that have existed for ages that are full of hate. They are full of chaos, full of pandemonium. They hate Jesus. They hate Christianity. They hate Christians and everything the Bible is and stands for. So I pray, if some of us are troubled by unseen spirits because they don't like the message that is coming, that you will take God's word as Jesus took it from time to time and speak it against the unseen. For they do not have the power that the word of God has and is. So I pray, Father, that you will embolden us, help us to stand, give us strength when it's needed to face this unseen world and overcome it, be triumphant with it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The unseen realm. I have a question for you as we begin, and here's the question. What is Satan's plan? What is Satan's plan? Well, I'm going to give it to you in three words. Number one, Satan's plan is control. Satan's plan is to alter. Satan's plan is to delete. Sound familiar? Let me begin with BLM, Black Lives Matter. What are they wanting to do today? And they're pretty successful at it. They're wanting to control, to alter, and delete. Then there is Antifa, which is right on the heels of Black Lives Matter. Then there is the cancel culture, which is saying, as I speak, we don't want you to use the words mom and dad anymore. Well, here's my response. Greetings to all the moms and dads at Hainesville Baptist Church. And they say that Jesus Christ is a racist. That's a lie straight out of hell. Amen. Jesus is not a racist. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in His sight. You see, there are some groups that need to graduate from their daycare that they've been in for a long time and put on their big boy pants and get a big boy understanding and a spiritual understanding of the Word of God. What is Satan's plan? Well, right now he's working through the Democrats in Washington. What do the Democrats want to do? Control, alter, and delete. Silence the conservative truth, the conservative voice. Silence even the Word of the living God. So who is actually and really at work in Washington behind all of this? Well, it's more than George Soros. It is Satan himself promoting this in the minds of the ungodly, those that think they can live and make decisions without Jesus Christ in their lives. Let's begin with the introduction. Giants are real. You read about giants in the Word of God, no question there. The small g gods of the pagans are real. They existed in the Old Testament. They existed, we say, in the New Testament time, which is the age of grace we're living in at this moment. And they're going to always exist until Jesus Christ deals with them. Dragons are real. And they're preparing for the final war with God. In this study, we'll discover the identities of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The dragons who will walk the earth in the last days. The first spirit to rebel against God. I have news for you, it wasn't Satan. The identity of Nimrod and the true location of Babel. The identity of Gog and Magog. Many say it's Russia. Be careful what you read. Why the wild beast with the deadly rider on the pale horse may be disease-causing viruses. COVID-19 will not be the last disease to hit America. According to Matthew chapter 24, more are coming, so prepare for it. There is coming an end-time showdown between the fallen realm and the kingdom of God. And I have news for you, God wins. In fact, He's already won. Isaiah 27:1, in that day the Lord with His hard and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, the twisting serpent. And He will slay the dragon that is in the sea. And when you look up the word sea, here in the Hebrew, it is a literal sea. Underline the word dragon. The word dragon, viewed as an enemy of order in creation. Dragon. Viewed as an enemy of order in creation. Now, everything has a start. We all agree with that and understand that. A plant, a person, an ideal. Even the universe had a beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, we're told that God created the heavens and the earth. Then only two verses in, we read something that may not make sense when we first read it because something happened to the earth. Rather than being described as good and perfect, as we see in later verses regarding creation, our world is described as void and without form. Question, why would God create something that's basically unfinished? That's what Johnny's wife said to me. I said, stay with him. He's a work in progress. It seems that the Lord created everything in perfect condition. But something catastrophic seems to have occurred between verses 1 and 2 that so scared the original creation, it rendered the earth void and without form. There seems to have been a violent disaster, a conflict named the Chaos Struggle. A war that formed the pattern for what's to come in our future. The Chaos Struggle gives us the information to understand the end times and the book of Revelation. To understand the book of Revelation, we talk about Matthew chapter 24. We'll go back further than that, if you will, to the book of Genesis.
The book of Genesis means the book of the beginning of things. So what began in Genesis will find its end in the book of Revelation. Let's go back to the printout. The chaos struggle gives us the information to understand the end times and the book of Revelation, singular. The spiritual war that will one day end with a new heaven and a new earth, a return to a pristine former glory, that is Revelation chapter 21. You can read that later. Now look at what God promises in Isaiah 46:11. He says, I have spoken, I will bring it to pass. I have proposed it, and I will do it. Two things here that you and I need to know. Number one, God knows the future. God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere present, and He's all-sufficient. So God, being God, knows the future. And secondly, God controls the future. You're probably looking at me and saying, Terry, are you looking at the same thing on TV that I'm looking at? Are you listening to the same news? Do you not see and hear how chaotic everything is on TV and what we hear in the news? Yes, I do. But God wouldn't be God if He wasn't in control of everything. So that's my appeal for sanity, is knowing that God is in control. Nothing is going to slip by Him. He knows everything from beginning to end. And He has a purpose in all of this. I want you to understand and please remember, God's agenda, I assure you, is being carried out. Nothing man does, no matter how chaotic it is and evil it is going to stop the plan nor the agenda of Almighty God. Does that mean I'm going to understand everything He's doing? No, I'm not going to understand everything He's going to do. Do I have to understand everything He's going to do? The answer is no. It doesn't concern me. What I need to know is in the Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation. I'm not concerned, overly concerned, I'll say that, because I know who God is. And I will say it again, God is in control over all things, all the time. All right, back to the printout. Question at the bottom of the page, number one. So what is God vowing to accomplish? And what prophecy awaits final fulfillment? Well, let's turn to page 2. You'll notice at the top of page 2, says Revelation, the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, cannot be understood without first discerning what is implied in the book of Genesis. In Ezekiel 38, most of you have heard of that chapter and that book, and most of you have read this, and you can read it at home again, if you will. In Ezekiel 38, we read that Gog leads a confederation against Israel. That is in the plan of God. His objective will be Zion, the Hormoed, which is God's mount of assembly. Underline the word mount. The word mount is mountain. So God had a mount of assembly. And who was assembled on the mount? It was the watchers. It was the angels of God or the sons of the living God. So people ask, where was the Garden of Eden? In the mount. God's mount of assembly. God had angels assembled there. Angels are also known as watchers. So what were the angels watching in the Garden of Eden, in the Mount of Assembly? We're fixing to find out. Gog comes from the north. Please pay attention to this. But north, in this case, is not so much a geographic direction as it is a spiritual north. That's important. Spiritual north. Consistent with the Jewish tradition of evil always descending upon Israel from the what? From the north. Historically, the most fearsome enemies always attacked from that direction, the north. Assyria and Babylon were the big two. and these would enter Israel from either Lebanon or Syria, because crossing the Syrian desert to the east was foolish. Likewise, supernatural threats to Israel also came from what? From the north. Bashan, the entrance to the Canaanite underworld. Mount Hermon. You don't have this, but you know me. I'm always reading and tweaking. I'm going to read you something about Mount Hermon. The word Hermon means curse. The word Hermon means curse. Now listen to this, and this came out of Enoch. Most of you and some of you are familiar with the writings of Enoch. You'll find that Peter is, and so is Jude. They have come from the book of Enoch with some things. Mount Hermon is where 200 watchers. Who are the watchers? They are angels. So Mount Hermon is where 200 watchers, a class of angelic being mentioned in chapter 4 of the book of Daniel, descended and began to prance. I thought that was funny. Here's the sons of God. They are the angels of God. They are the watchers, synonymous with angels. And you know what they're doing? They're getting all excited, just like some of you young studs used to when you first saw a good-looking gal and you wanted to ask her on a date and get her attention and take her somewhere and feed her a nice meal and take her to the show or to a dance. Prancing. Why do you think these angels were prancing? They wanted to get the attention of the sons of what? Of the daughters of men. The daughters of men. So they're prancing, Jim. You ever pranced a little bit? You know what? We call that like a peacock, you know. It's prancing around right there. And what are you trying to do? You're trying to impress. Impress, usually, the opposite sex. So these angels are prancing. Now, can you imagine, Mr. Hacker, angels prancing? That would be a sight to see right there. So they begin to prance about with human women. From these unions came the Nephilim, the giants of chapter 6 of Genesis, verses 1 through 4. Now, the trade offered by the watchers, the angels, was knowledge, just as it was in Eden. You find that strange? See, who else was offered knowledge in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve. And who offered them this knowledge? A serpent. Satan. So do you think the watchers were watching at that time? Not only were they watching, they were listening. And they saw how successful the serpent was with Adam and Eve. So they say what? Hey, if it worked on these two, I think it could work on some other human beings, don't you? Now you know why they were called watchers, also because they were watching and they were listening. And they were doing a very, very good job of it. In fact, they tried what the serpent did and it worked. In exchange for the pleasures of the flesh, Simjaza, and I looked that up, and his minions offered charms and enchantments, astrology, the art of making weapons, cosmetics, writing, other things, arts, humans, now listen, would have developed or discovered over time rather than downloaded on society all at once. Well, they share this knowledge. They're going to fall for it. And then they're going to dump everything at one time on the world that is inhabited at the moment. Here's something else that was interesting. The giant offspring of the unholy unions, the Nephilim, pillaged the earth and endangered humanity. They consumed everything man made. This gets better. When that wasn't enough, they began eating people and even each other. Now you know why God is saying, I can't go with this. They would have eaten all humanity that existed. Enoch describes the giants as creatures of insatiable desire who threatened to terminate the bloodline of the future Messiah by violence. Here's a little more. The book of Jasher, nice book also, suggests that the transgression of the watchers and the Nephilim went beyond corrupting humankind, including, listen to this, the mixture of animals of one species with the other. Now get this. Say we've got a dog and we've got a goat. We're going to breed them together. Now what that would look like, only the Lord knows. So the earth became filled with these two things that were very great. Sex and violence. Well, let's go back to the printout here. So you have Mount Hermon, El's Mount of Assembly, and the site of the Watchers' Rebellion. These are the angels. And Mount Zaphon, the home of Baal. Does Baal sound familiar to you? Somewhere in the Old Testament, right? All right. Baal's palace were all located, guess where? To the north of Israel. Then you have Ezekiel 38, 2 through 9. You can read that at home. Number one, Gog is the name of a spirit entity, that which animates Antichrist, the great supernatural end times enemy of God and Israel. The grisly sacrificial feast of Ezekiel 39, 17 through 20 in Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 through 21, confirmed that the war of Gog ends at Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon refers to the final war between human governments and God. The Battle of Armageddon will bring human leadership to an end. What happens after the Battle of Armageddon? There's going to be the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. And who's going to walk into the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ? Those who survived as Christians the seven-year tribulation. Now, only believers in Christ or Christians will enter the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, these Christians will marry. They will repopulate the earth for that thousand years. You've heard me say, number one, in the millennial, Jesus is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And we're going to see Jesus Christ with our eyes. In other words, he's going to walk up to you. He's going to be close to you. You're going to see him. I don't think we're going to handle him, if I may say that way. But we're going to see him. He's going to be right there in our eyesight and in our presence. And yet there will be people in the millennial who will reject Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. So Christianity will not be automatic in the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, even though Jesus Christ is going to be right there. Johnny, can you imagine hearing Jesus Christ speak? That would put you down on your knees, I would think, and make you fall at his feet to worship him. But yet, Satan is going to be what? Locked up, right? No temptation. No temptation. You can't say the devil made me do it. What am I saying? You're going to find out how strong your old sin nature is. And brother, it's strong enough to keep you from receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It will be a power to be dealt with. At the end of the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, somebody's going to be let loose that's been locked up. Satan. All of the unbelieving people Satan will gather and say, we're going to go against Christ and we're going to defeat him. But you know, Christ himself alone, and we'll be behind him, following him as his bride, as his children, he will defeat Satan all by himself. And how's he going to do it? With his power and the word of God that comes out of his mouth. And then you know what? Then there's the great white throne judgment. It sounds wonderful, it sounds beautiful, but it is where all unbelievers will stand They will be condemned because of their rejection of Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and they will be sent to a living hell following the unholy Trinity. All right, back to the printout, if you will. Look at number three. The beast that emerges from the sea, underline the word sea. In ancient thought, the sea was the reservoir of evil. In ancient thought, the sea was the reservoir of evil. So the beast that emerges from the reservoir of evil, they're saying in Revelation 13:1, is the Antichrist figure. But did you know this relates back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2? The sea, notice what is in parentheses, yam, Y-A-M. The sea is yam, Y-A-M in Hebrew language. It most properly understood as an entity. Yam, the Canaanite god of the sea, is a proper name and represents, chaos. Underline the word chaos. Chaos means the power of an untamed and raging sea. The power of an untamed and raging sea. Then look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created by forming from nothing the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, or a waste and emptiness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Primeval ocean, the word primeval means original, that covered the unformed earth. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of what? The waters. Now, let's look at the Hebrew word for deep. Is Tehom. It means the chaos monster. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Psalms. Turn to Psalms. Let's read a little bit. Psalm 74, 12 through 17. Psalm 74, 12 through 17. Here we go. Yet God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the Red Sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea monsters in the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You broke open fountains and streams. You dried up ever-flowing rivers. The day is yours, the night also is yours. You have established and prepared the heavenly light and the sun. You have defined and established all the borders of the earth, the divisions of land and sea and of the nations. You have made summer and winter. Now turn to Job chapter 41. Job 41. Job 41, verses 1 through 4. 41, 1 through 4. If you're in Psalms, go backwards. Be careful of the Leviathan. Job 41. If you have an Amplified Study Bible like I do, it's on page 840. 840. I'm going to simplify it for you. Here we go. Can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook? Nope. Or press down his tongue with a cord? No. Can you put a rope made of rushes into his nose? Not hardly. Or pierce his jaw through with a hook? Mm-mm. Will he make many supplications to you, begging to be spared? In other words, Job, why would he beg to be spared when you can't control him? Or will he speak soft words to you, to coax you to treat him kindly? Verse 4, will he make a covenant or an arrangement with you? Will you take him for your servant forever? Go back to the printout. Look at the bottom of the page. Question. Did God have any trouble with this monster? Not at all. God mainly placed his spirit over the deep. You know where that is in Genesis, don't you? And it obeyed. No weapons needed, just his word. Jeff, is there a story where the disciples got in a boat? They went out into the sea. Things got stormy, didn't they? Chaotic, dangerous. Wind was really blowing. I wonder why. Who stirred it up? And I begin to think, as a human being, I can see things happening, but why? What's stirring it up? Are the gods we read about, know about in the Old Testament? Many of them are still existent. They're still pulling the same stunts they pulled in the Old Testament. The Canaanites, the Amorites, the mosquito bites, all that good stuff. Jeff says, I know that. Where there ever there is an idol, it says in Corinthians, there's a demon attached to it. Do you think that stuff doesn't happen anymore? Do you think the spirits way back then we've been talking about and reading about, do you think they don't exist anymore? Do you think they don't bother people like they used to anymore? They're still pulling the same stunts. Brother, when I say they are watchers, they watch good, and they watch real close. And remember, Satan has game film on every human being that will ever be born. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. They know more about you than you know about yourself. The watchers, they watch the snake, right? We'll say it again. They watch the serpent. Oh, how he worked with Adam and Eve. And boy, just think what they were thinking. Hey, if he was successful, we can be successful. Let's use the same stuff the old devil did. You think that's our downfall as human beings? We think, oh man, that's all back then. That won't happen today. Those same spirits, you think they're in operation today? I'll say it one more time. Yes, yes, yes. And that's why we fall prey so many times. We never think about what is stirring all of this chaos that's going on in my life, my marriage, my church, my workplace, my life as a human being. God of chaos! Back to the printout. Page 3. Sure did get quiet. Page 3. Chaos, being a supernatural creature, is for the present only restrained, not dead. Does Jude talk about these angels? Sure. According to Hesiod and Homer, you know them, Chad? Okay. I got a feeling you probably will. Hesiod and Homer, listen to this, the Titans and Watchers are presently in Tartarus, and Peter confirms it. 2 Peter 2:4, for if God did not even spare angels that sinned, what angels is he talking about? The watchers? but threw them into hell. Underline the word hell. The word hell in the Greek is Tartaro or Tartarus. Listen to the definition of Tartarus. Tartarus stands for the netherworld, the place of punishment fit only for demons. Tartarus, a Greek name for the underworld, especially the damned. Tartarus, the place of detention until the judgment. The dungeons of Tartarus were viewed as a prison, the deepest pit for spirits. Now you know where they came from. Tartarus, a special prison reserved for supernatural threats from the divine order to the divine order, a special prison reserved for supernatural threats to the divine order. In other words, hell for angels. That's Tartarus. Did we have any supernatural threats to the divine order? Genesis chapter 6, here we go. They tell me it's amazing that a lot of preachers get to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and they just about black it out. Say, not going there, not going to fool with that. Why not? Again, is that just filler material? Did God say to the writer of Genesis, you know what, we need some filler material right here in Genesis chapter 6 in the beginning, so just write anything down there. Just kind of fill some space, will you? Don't be afraid of the weird, because there's a lot of weird stuff in the Bible we don't understand. But weird is important. If it's in the Bible, the Word of the living God, it's not just filler material. Number 3. The Greeks remembered that a monstrous deity connected to Satan, Baal's Mount of Assembly, was buried in Tartarus. The abyss. Oh, the abyss. Is that mentioned in Revelation, Ken? Okay, so that's nothing new. Which is represented in the Bible by the what? See. So the dragon, Revelation 12, 17, 13 through 1. So the dragon was enraged with the woman. Who's the woman?
Israel.
And he went off to wage war on the rest of her children or seed. Those who keep and obey the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus, holding firmly to it and bearing witness to it. And the dragon, Satan, stood on the sandy shore of the sea. This seems to suggest that it is the dragon who stands on the shore when the beast, the Antichrist, Gog, rises from the abyss. Note that Satan slash Baal's Mount of Assembly, Zaphon, today, underline that word today, because I want to get your mind out of back then, but today, because some of you say, man, if I could just connect this to today, I'd really believe. Today, called Jebel al-Agra, sits on the shore of what? Where? Today. Today. Irenaeus. Chad, you know Irenaeus. A Christian theologian of the second century offered these thoughts on John's prophecy of the Antichrist. Inasmuch then as the name Titan has so much to recommend, there is a strong degree of probability that from the many names suggested, and there has been many, we infer that perchance he who is to come shall be called Titan. Oh, how we get tied to things. And we say, I don't understand it. I'm not going to fool with it. Well, I got news for you. Salvation is way above my head, but I'm going to fool with it. And I accept it. And I got a feeling it's going to be an all eternity thing for me to understand it. But I will understand it when I get in the presence of Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to get you to do is pay attention to what you read in the Bible. You know about demons. You know about these angels. And brother, they were bad boys. That's why God said, I'm locking you up. I might even throw away the key. But I want you to stand judgment for what you've done. Study your Bible. Jeff, I think we were talking earlier. If you don't understand the spirit world and the unseen world, Satan will make you fight against one another, flesh on flesh. And I got news for you. When you come up against people who have something that is actually being caused by Satan himself, sickness, disease, you can throw all the human words at him you want. It won't bother him at all. The only word that bothers Satan is the word of the living God. For when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do? He spoke nothing but the word of God. And Satan finally said, I'm out of here. Oh, by the way, for some that don't care for the Old Testament, you might want to have a conversation with Jesus. He loves it. For he quoted out of Deuteronomy a pretty good bit. Let me tell you something. From Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God is powerful. Amen. And you know what? When Jeff and I were talking and I'm fixing to quit, I said, you know, Jeff, that's right. We so beat on each other. We rip each other apart. Tear each other down. Unknowing that we need to be addressing what's behind what we're seeing. And we need to be aware of who we're actually talking to. The unseen realm? Or you? Human words do not affect the spiritual. Talk all you want. Won't do any good. It's the word of the living God that will back them up, off, and away. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that we can look words up. You allow us to study. You allow us to open up the most precious book in all creation, the Word of God, exposing everything we need to know and learn, shielding us, protecting us, enabling us in all things at all times. And it's scary sometimes to know what's out there and how devilish and hideous it really is. So when we talk about Washington and the Democrats and Republicans and Independents, whoever you are up there, supposed to be doing your job, we need to pray in a spiritual way, because Satan is behind every bit of that mess that's taking place. And pray for the salvation of souls that are being led astray, that they will see the light and come to the light, Jesus Christ. Because that battle in Portland, Oregon, and the battle in Washington, the battle we're sick and tired of listening to and looking at, is a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare all the way. And it's not going to get any better. But we as God's people can pray, and God will do what He's going to do. Father, help us to be light and salt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand.